following is a synopsis of the talks of the Rebbe, Shabbos Parshas Miketz, Shabbos and the sixth day of Chanukah, first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevis, Tavshin Nun Beis, corresponding to 1991. When we compare Chanukah to other holidays, the thing that is unique about Chanukah is that whereas all the other holidays, including Shabbos, we are commanded to engage in a suda, in a meal. We eat bread and water and even meat and wine, but in Chanukah there's no mitzvah to partake in a feast, and the holiday manifests itself with the lighting of candles, of lights, as a remembrance of the miracle that occurred with the cruse of oil. And the reason for that is simple. The victory of Chanukah against the Greeks is that they waged war against the holiness of Torah, the holiness of the commandments, so it was a spiritual miracle. That's why the way we remember this miracle is with lights, because Torah and mitzvahs are likened to light. Ner mitzvah, v'Torah or. A mitzvah is like a ner, a light, and Torah is light. On the other hand, when we talk about other holidays, like Purim and Pesach, those were days in which we were saved bodily, because Haman and Paro waged war and issued decrees against the body of the Jewish people. That's why, how do we celebrate it? By feeding the body. Now, in general, even physical things are related to a Jew in a way that makes them spiritual. When we eat bread and we drink water, we see a connection to Torah, because Torah is likened to bread and water. And that's why in Shabbos and in Yom Tov, we even see how eating becomes a mitzvah. So the physical becomes spiritual. Pesach and Purim, in which the bodies of the Jewish people were saved, is also a spiritual salvation, because Pesach prepared us for the giving of the Torah, and in Purim we received the Torah and accepted it anew with joy. And that's why when we celebrate on these days, of these holidays, it's not just a physical thing, it's also a spiritual thing. Chanukah, on the other hand, which is primarily a spiritual salvation, is also connected to a physical salvation, because the Greeks did oppress us and did persecute us, and therefore it's also a physical celebration. But the difference is, which is the emphasis? So the advantage that Chanukah has over other holidays is a spiritual advantage, because the spiritual message of Chanukah is even higher than the spiritual message of other holidays. And the Rebbe explains this by reflecting on the significance of the various foods which punctuate the observance of other holidays. We eat bread, we drink water, we drink wine, in all of the holidays, but in Chanukah there's another liquid that we emphasize, and that is, of course, oil. Now, bread and water are metaphors for the revealed parts of Torah, the laws of the Torah. Just like bread and water are indispensable for life, we couldn't survive without them, so too the laws of the Torah, what we're forbidden to do, what we're allowed to do, are necessary for us to know how to live our lives. Conversely, the wine and the oil of Torah are not that important for our survival, but they do add joy and they enhance our pleasure. Wine is called Yayin Mesameach, wine that brings joy. Oil adds taste. They are allusions to the secrets of the Torah that are not necessary for the observance of the mitzvahs. You could know how to do a mitzvah without studying the inner teachings of Torah, but they do add life and pleasure to the observance of the mitzvahs and in our attachment to our Creator. Now, in the inner teachings of Torah itself, there are two levels. There's the secrets of Torah that can be revealed, that are accessible to people. That is connected to wine. Wine, in certain occasions, is something that we could drink by itself without other foods. But the oil of Torah represents the razin, the secrets of the Torah. These are the most esoteric teachings of Torah that are not revealed to people, just like oil itself cannot be drunk without adding it to another part of food. You can't just drink oil. Now, this is the reason why Chanukah is really so unique. It's connected to the oil, the secrets of the secrets of the Torah, to the most profound secrets, which transcends even the conventional secrets of Torah. And certainly Chanukah represents that which is higher than the revealed part of Torah. That's why it's not celebrated with a feast, which indicates its connection to the revealed part of Torah. And a question can be asked. Chanukah was instituted by our sages, unlike Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, which are biblical. And when did they institute it? In the days of the Second Temple, in a time of great difficulty, when the Syrian Greeks were making an effort to cause us to forget Torah. So how could it be that in such a low time that this holiday should be connected to Shem and to oil, which is the highest level of Torah. So the Rebbe says, no, and precisely that's the order of Torah. Precisely when there's great darkness, the greater the darkness, in fact, is when the teachings of the Torah become revealed in a greater way, in a greater manner. The light of Torah is precisely necessary when the Greeks imposed their darkness and their decrees against the Jewish people. There was a necessity for a higher level of Torah, the oil of Torah, the secrets of the secrets. Now, we know that the Greeks had a philosophical approach, and they taught all the different secular knowledge in order to fight and wage war against God's Torah. They were not against learning Torah per se. They were against the sanctity of Torah. They were against the belief in God and in His commandments. Their opposition, based on their philosophy, was against God's will. And with their wisdom, with their philosophy, they wanted to overpower the sanctity of Torah, prophecy, and the like. And they were successful in contaminating all the oils in the temple. They were successful in making inroads in contaminating the sanctity of Torah. Now, the reason why Greece had that power is because they got the power from Torah itself. How could that be? So the Rebbe says, in the days of King Ptolemy of Egypt, who was one of the heirs to the Greek throne, the sages of Israel were sought by him to translate the Torah into Greek. And it was a very good translation, to the point that the Talmud says that the only language that you could really translate the Torah into adequately is Greek. So it was a good translation and a proper translation. But at the same time, the sages tell us that the day in which the Torah was translated into Greek was as difficult for Israel as the day in which the golden calf was created. And the reason for that is, whereas the translation of the Torah into Greek in and of itself is a positive thing, but it was a non-Jewish king who sought to do this that led to the fear and the concern that will lead to negative consequences. And that's exactly what happened. A century later, the Greeks took advantage of this translation into Greek to fathom this phenomenal teaching of Torah and thereby have access to it so they can contaminate it. So you should not feel and sense the holiness of Torah and transform the Torah into a secular philosophy. And that's when they imposed the decree attempting to cause us to forget God's Torah. Now, in the miracle of Hanukkah, they found one cruse of oil that was pure, uncontaminated. Now, since the Greeks wanted to contaminate the Torah, we had to emphasize the sanctity of Torah, to find pure oil, but not just pure oil, but it was sealed with the seal of the high priest. That means, when Torah is revealed in its conventional level, the revealed parts of Torah, which deals with laws that are related to the physical world, therefore, when the darkness becomes great, there could be a situation where people will understand the beauty and the depth of the wisdom of Torah, but they won't recognize that it's divine. That's why you have to have pure oil, the secrets of the Torah, which talks about God directly, not just about worldly matters. And then through the teachings of the secrets of the Torah, which deals with God, that will enable us to feel the holiness of Torah even when we're learning the revealed parts of Torah, that we know that it's God's Torah. And you need to have oil precisely, not wine. Oil, which are the secrets of the secrets, because the characteristic of oil is that it permeates all foods. And that's the nature of the oil of Torah, that can actually permeate all of the levels of Torah learning, including the revealed parts of Torah, the more worldly parts, that we should feel that they are God's Torah. And there's an additional quality that oil has, that it illuminates, that it brings light to every Jew, to his environment, even in the most dark of periods. It gets rid of all the opposition to God and can even transform them into holiness. That, indeed, is the miracle of Hanukkah. Now, in the miracle of Hanukkah, which is the time when the oil of Torah reached its zenith, that was only the beginning. When did it really climax? It climaxed with Yutes Kislev centuries later, when the inner teachings of Torah were becoming disseminated all over the world. After Hanukkah, they still, in spite of the fact that it revealed the secrets of the secrets, but what were most people studying? The revealed parts of Torah. The select few were also learning the inner part of Torah, and they did so secretly. It's only in the later generations, from the time of the Arizal onward, who said it's a mitzvah to publicize these teachings, and especially after Yitzchak Kislev, did the inner teachings of Torah become popularized. What does that mean? That from Hanukkah onward, the reason why they studied the oil of Torah was not an independent study for its own purpose, but it's in order to enhance and to preserve the sanctity of the revealed parts of Torah. However, from Yutes Kislev onward, the study of the oil of Torah became a significant and independent study unto itself. And the reason for that is, the darkness of the world also got stronger. That's why the study of the oil of Torah became a necessity, just like the revealed parts of Torah, the bread and the water. And as the darkness kept on getting stronger and stronger, that's when the oil of Torah became more and more revealed. For example, in the days of the Rebbe Rashab, when a organization dedicated to disseminating the heretical teachings of Haskalah, to combat that, established the Yeshiva Taim Chitmimim, where Chassidus was established as a fully independent area of study. And after that, his son, the previous Rebbe, instituted and established Taim Chitmimim yeshivas throughout the entire world. In addition to that, the new phenomenon, relatively new, was the translation of the inner teachings of Torah in various language enabled the oil to not just illuminate from the home, but it reaches every part of the world directly. An additional reason, and a deeper reason, why there's a revelation of the oil of Torah, Hanukkah, and then more so in Yutes Kislev, and as the generations progress more and more, it's because of a positive reason. The first reason was because of the darkness, that we need more of it. The second reason is that we're closer to the coming of Mashiach, who was called Mashiach, anointed one, because he's anointed with oil. He's going to reveal the oil of Torah. That will be his primary revelation. And in his day, the days of Mashiach, that will be the primary focus of our learning of Torah. And that's precisely the reason why there's greater darkness. Because we are closer to Mashiach and there'll be greater light, there's a corresponding increase of darkness in the world, an opposition to the coming of Mashiach itself. So when do we feel the presence of Mashiach more stridently? That is in Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an 8-day holiday. What's the significance of 8? In connection to Mashiach and the days of Mashiach, the harp, the kinnor, which always had 7 strands, will have 8 strands. That's the connection of Hanukkah to Mashiach. Yutes Kislev is also connected to Mashiach, because that's when the words of Mashiach to the Baal Shem Tov, when his soul ascended on high, and he asked him, when are you coming? And he said, when your fountains will be disseminated all over the world, which started in earnest, and more significantly, after Yutes Kislev. So Yutes Kislev is the preparation for Mashiach. In addition to that, in every successive generation, throughout the 7 generations of leaders of Chabad, especially after Taim Chitmimim, the yeshiva was established by the Rebbe Rashab, that we are now at the point where Mashiach is ready to come. The only thing that's missing is for us to see that Mashiach has come. And the Rebbe says the connection to Mashiach is not just Hanukkah and Yutes Kislev, but also the Parsha of Miketz, this week's Parsha. The word Miketz has the meaning and is connected to Ketz Hayamim, the end of days, the end of exile, and Ketz Hayamin, the beginning of redemption. And these are the 2 reasons why we have the oil of Torah being revealed now, the teachings of Chassidus. One reason is because it's the end of exile, so it's the darkest part of exile. And the other reason is because we're so close to the beginning of Geula. Also, the content of the Parsha of Miketz is connected to Geula. In general, all the Parshas of this period, Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayichi, are dedicated to one theme, Yaakov going into Egypt, and what caused that. Yaakov himself symbolizes Geula and the third Beis HaMikdash, because he's the third of the patriarchs. And he had a special connection to Torah that went beyond all the different limits and constraints. And by his going into Egypt through Joseph, whose Torah he got from Yaakov, he revealed the Torah even within the parameters and the confines of the world in its lowest point, in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. And when Torah is revealed even in Egypt, then we have the ability to reach redemption, that it transcends all the limits, all the boundaries. As it says, Min hametzar karasi, I call out from distress, anani b'merchav, God responds to me in expansion. That means through the distress, through coming into Egypt, that's what brings redemption. So Jacob's descent into Egypt means he went into Egypt to bring Geula to the world. Also, the names of the other parshas of this season are connected to Geula. Vayesha means to settle, tranquility. That's what will happen in the days of Mashiach. Miketz means the end of Golus and the beginning of Geula. As we just said before, Vayigash, and he approached, where Yehuda approaches Yosef, alludes to the unification of the two kingdoms of Yehuda and Yosef. The reunification will become complete. And Vayichi Yaakov, and Yaakov live, alludes to the period of the resurrection of the dead, when there will be eternal life. Yaakov, who is the third of the patriarchs, is connected to the third redemption and the third Beis Hamikdash. His theme is Torah, and he represents bringing that into Mitzrayim through Joseph, so that through that he can bring about the Geula, the redemption. Now we can understand another point in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov comes before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asks him how old he was. He says, 130, my life was very few years and bad years, and I cannot compare to the life of my fathers who lived longer. And the Rebbe asks two questions. Number one, why don't you have to tell him that he lived few years? And number two, how could you say that 130 is few? True, relative to his father who lived 180 and his grandfather who lived 175, it was few. But it seems that he was saying that it was few because quantitatively it may have been many years, but qualitatively it was few. Why? So the Rebbe explains that because Yaakov's primary function was Geula, was redemption, so as long as the redemption is not a reality, a physical reality, his life is considered to be that he had lived few years and deficient years, flawed years. And that's why no matter how good things would be in Egypt, Pharaoh would settle him down on the fat of the land, he could not speak of his life being positive because he didn't bring the Geula in actuality. Because Yaakov represents Geula. And since we are now in a time that is connected to Geula, the Parshas Miketz is the end of days, the beginning of redemption. It's Hanukkah with the miracle of the oil, which is connected to Mashiach, about whom it is said, I have anointed him with my holy oil. Shabbos Hanukkah is connected to Geula because Geula, the redemption, is a period of perpetual Shabbos. And it's the fifth night of Hanukkah, the fifth day of Hanukkah, which is connected to the Alter Rebbe's second holiday of redemption, when he was incarcerated a second time. This Shabbos is also Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh is newness and innovation, when the Jewish people will be completely renewed in the future redemption. And in general, we are in the generation of the last period of exile and the beginning of redemption. Therefore, we have to increase day by day in activities that will bring the Geula, the redemption, in actuality. And the Rebbe says we have to increase in our emunah, in our faith, in our yearning for Geula, to the point that we should feel that as long as the Geula is not here, Mashiach is not yet here, our life is considered to be ma'at, it's few. As Yaakov said, that even 130 years is few, as long as the Geula did not come. We should also increase in the inner teachings of Torah, the study of the oil of Torah and disseminating it throughout the entire world, to increase in the Hanukkah campaign to facilitate. Every Jew should be able to light the Hanukkah lights, to also arrange for joyous gatherings, and to increase in the giving of Hanukkah gelt. There's also a special lesson that comes from the Shabbos of Hanukkah, when the Rebbe said this talk, which was on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. That year Rosh Chodesh was 2 days. Hanukkah lights we put at the entrance of our homes towards the outside, because the purpose of the Hanukkah lights is to illuminate the outside, the public domain, and to sanctify the secular, the mundane, the street. When Shabbos Hanukkah, which underscores the theme of Hanukkah, occurs on Rosh Chodesh, which means new, the new month, that tells us that everything has to be so new that it has to be much different than whatever we had before, much more than we had before. And since there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, as it was that year when the Rebbe said this talk, and they're both connected to Shabbos, that underscores that everything of Hanukkah has to be double. And may it be the will of Hashem that even before we carry out all of our resolutions, God should give us Chanukah Geld. What is the most important thing that we need? The true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach. And He will dedicate the third Beis HaMikdash. And the primary thing, the essential thing, is that it should happen in actuality, mamash, even before Mincha, and even before we read the Parsha of Vayigash, that God should not withhold us even as much as an eye blink. And since the redemption is coming immediately, the next fast day, the 10th of Tevis, will not be a fast day, but will be transformed into a holiday, as the Rambam rules that all the fast days will be transformed into holidays in the time of redemption. A summary of the synopsis. The advantage of Chanukah over other holidays, or that which makes it unique, is that Chanukah is connected to oil, the secrets of the secrets of Torah. Because the darkness was so great, they wanted us to forget the holiness of Torah. They contaminated all the oil. That's why we have to counter that with the pure oil that they found that was sealed with the seal of the high priest, which means the deepest secrets of the Torah, because that's the only way you can dispel the darkness of the Greeks. Even after the miracle of Chanukah, nevertheless, even though it represents the deepest secrets of the Torah, the people still studied the revealed parts of Torah primarily, and the secrets of the Torah were only revealed to the extent that they helped to enhance the learning of the revealed parts of Torah, that we should know that it's God's Torah. When did the primary revelation of the inner teachings of Torah occur? It made the miracle of Chanukah complete. That was after Yutes Kislev. Then the inner teachings of Torah became a precious and independent study unto itself. And it gets stronger and stronger in terms of how it's being disseminated throughout the entire world. A deeper reason why the inner teachings of Torah have been revealed in recent times is because we're getting closer to the coming of Mashiach. And Mashiach is connected to Parshas Miketz, the Rebbe says, at the end of days, and also to the themes of the Parsha Vayeshev and Vayechi, in which Yaakov, whose purpose is Geula, goes into Egypt, into the constraints of the world. And that's why, because he had not yet brought the Geula, he says to Pharaoh that my days are very few, because even though he was 130 years old, to him that was considered to be a short life, a deficient life, because he had not yet been able to bring Mashiach. And the Rebbe then concludes that the deed is the essential thing, and he asked for five things: to strengthen the faith and the yearning for Mashiach, that we should feel that as long as Mashiach isn't here, our days are lacking. Number two, to increase in the campaign of Chanukah, to disseminate the lighting of the Chanukah candles and disseminating the inner teachings of Torah and Torah in general. Number three, to increase in the fulfillment of the custom of giving Chanukah Geld. Number four, to arrange for joyous farbrengens, gatherings. Number five, to do everything in a manner of chidush, in a newness, to do it in a new way, in a doubly new way. Now, a few highlights of the Rebbe's talk. One should increase from day to day, which is consistent with the teachings of Chanukah, that we increase every day, adding one more light, in all those things that bring to redemption in actuality, in a revealed way. And they include the strengthening of faith and the yearning, anticipation for Mashiach, to such an extent that we feel that as long as Mashiach is not here in actuality, our days are deficient. Just as Yaakov said about his 130 years, that they were few because the redemption did not actually come. The Rebbe also said that after Yutes Kislev, these teachings have become increasingly more revealed throughout the seven generations of the leaders of Chabad, and especially through the establishment of the Yeshiva Taim Chetmimim, whose students were referred to as the soldiers of the House of David, who are waging war against those who revile Mashiach, and their function is to bring in actuality the coming of Mashiach. And that's especially true in our generation, where we have actually completed everything, and all we have to do is open our eyes to see that Mashiach has come. And to quote from the Surah HaGeula, the highlights of Geula, the Rebbe says we can learn a practical lesson. In addition to this generation being the last generation of exile, the end of the exile, it is also the first generation of redemption. the beginning of redemption. We therefore find ourselves at an auspicious time connected to the redemption, and there should be a daily increase, that's connected to the lesson of Hanukkah, when you increase from day to day, in all matters that bring redemption into reality and into the open. And among them, the Rebbe says, we should strengthen our belief in, longing for, and anticipation of the coming of Mashiach, to such an extent that as long as a righteous Mashiach had not yet come in reality and openly, we feel that our life is lacking, just as Yaakov said that his days were few. Further, the Rebbe says, and this is fundamental, this is essential, one must increase in learning and spreading the inner teachings of the Torah. Torah in general is Yaakov's function, but especially the inner teachings, which is the oil, the secrets of the Torah, in a way that they light from the opening of the house on the outside, and they spread, as the Baal Shem Tov was told by Mashiach, your wellsprings will spread outward until the Talmudites leave the market. That's a reference in the Talmud to the latest time of lighting the Hanukkah candles, when there are no longer any people known as the Talmudites who tarried in the marketplace. When they're gone, then you know that you passed the deadline. But Chassidus explains that Talmudites are the rebels, that even the rebels are transformed as a result of the light of the Hanukkah menorah.